He said, now I want you to deal with this thing called rejection, because there are a lot of people walking around here today who feel rejected. And that is not a good feeling to feel rejected. Amen. Maybe there are some who were rejected by their mother when they were young, or maybe their father walked out on them and they were a young age, or maybe they've just been feeling like they're an outcast, or maybe they've been feeling like they've been ostracized or treated differently than everybody else. I've heard some people say that I'm the black sheep of the family. Amen. That's a feeling of rejection when you hear a person say that. And so there's various aspects of this thing called rejection and various ways that people can feel rejected. You can feel rejected as a result of a mother or father. And it doesn't always have to be that they left you in life. Amen. They could be there, but you may feel as if they don't treat you a certain way. And so this feeling of rejection can, again, be real, very real, or it could be something that we just, a person can't understand to be a rejection as a result. But it's important to understand that rejection is a reality. And so it's important to know how to deal with this thing called rejection, because it can affect your life. Amen. So a little bit more about what rejection is and the effects of it really is what I'm dealing with. And at the same time, I'm giving you reasons to know why we should deal with this thing called rejection and allow the Lord to help us to be healed of this thing called rejection, or what I call wounds of rejection. See, because we can be treated a certain way, and then we can begin to have open wounds, and then we become sensitive in that area. And sometimes we can go places and we sense that we're not being included. We're, you know, somehow treated differently than everybody else. And it has a profound effect on people because of our makeup. It not only affects us, but it affects us emotionally and it affects us mentally. And so let's talk a little bit more about that. But let me give you a main scripture from Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It says, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings. That's good news to those who are afflicted. So there are people who are walking around that are afflicted. These wounds of rejection, you can open the door to demonic spirits and spiritual oppression. And I'll deal with that in a minute. But Jesus said, and the word says, Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus also quoted that when he preached over in the New Testament. He said, because the Lord has anointed, and then it takes an anointing to bring the good news. Mm-hmm. It is the anointing that does what? Destroys every yoke. The yoke of bondage. Anything that bounds us up, it needs to be broken. And the power of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to break it. Amen. To bring what? Good news to the afflicted. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenheartedness. And it says to proclaim to the captives. So brokenhearted captives. I'm going to deal with those two. Okay. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. See, because a person can be bound up in prison as a result of experiences of being rejected at some point or another. Maybe we're young, maybe they were old, but at some point or another, it has an effect on us. Why should I overcome rejection? Because the wound of rejection does this. Okay. So we see again, there are many people walking around today with wounds of rejection, open scars and unattended pain. It leads to low expectations of oneself and of others. It leads to a wrong perception of oneself. It affects how one views themselves. It affects how one feels about themselves and what we tell others and project to others. In other words, I call it the Gideon effect. Amen. God had spoken to Gideon. Amen. Despite Gideon's background and what tribe he came from, God is not concerned about our own abilities, because he is the one that enables us to do anything but fail. Although God had spoke the word to Gideon life, say he was a great man of war, he was a great warrior, yet Gideon's perception of himself was very small. What did he say? He said, I am least of my tribe is least, but I'm least of those even in my tribe. He said, how can we be victorious? We are like grasshoppers in the sight of our enemies, in our own sight. And so how you perceive yourself is how you project on others. So by Gideon saying we are grasshoppers in our own sight, that goes to the fact of how Gideon saw himself and how he projected about himself to others. We are as grasshoppers in our own sight. That's what I call the Gideon effect. All right. So it affects how we relate to ourselves and others. People who operate out of a fear of rejection often display little or no assertiveness. In other words, there's two ways the person can respond to being rejected. Either they can be very, very passive, or they can be extremely over aggressive. A person can display often little or no assertiveness. They do not speak up. They may not feel right about a certain situation, but instead of speaking up, they won't say anything. And then afterwards, they'll express a displeasure to someone else, and people ask them, well, how come you didn't speak up? Amen? And they let others know how they feel about something, especially if their opinion differs. In other words, they're afraid to express their own opinion. They lack the courage to function differently from others. In other words, they feel like, amen, they always have to conform to others and what they think about them. In other words, they don't want to be different. They don't want to stand out. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. Remember, I said there's two ways that a person can respond to it. Number one, they can respond to it one way, being very passive, or another way, very aggressive. Right? We see here, they can be very passive and not speak up and say anything. They don't want to stand out. But then on the other side, there are some people that have a very just the opposite effect. They draw because they feel rejected. They feel like they need a sense of attention. They need attention to be drawn to themselves. So what do? They do things that attract attention. Isn't that very interesting? So one side of a person would be very quiet, very shy, very introvert, don't like controversy, don't want to express their opinion. And on another side, you have a person that is very aggressive. They always express their opinion, and they always are doing things to attract attention to themselves because they didn't have the attention that they felt that they needed. And so what happens, they end up drawing attention to themselves through their behavior, through certain things that they do. Not everyone responds the same way. Okay. They will often keep their personal feelings hidden from others and too often from themselves. The strange thing is rejection can have very different effects on people, as I said. Okay. Some can be very shy and introvert, unassuming, passive, while others could be aggressive, outspoken, abrasive sometimes, or even controlling. So rejection is a result of being made to feel an outcast. That's where it starts, especially as children. They began what? They start feeling as if they're outcast. They're different. They're treated differently. That has an effect. Children start becoming withdrawn, amen, when they feel like they're not being a part of the group. Okay? They start feeling unwanted or not belonging. Rejection ranks among the most potent and distressing event that people experience. So feelings of rejection have a big effect in people's lives. Rejection can be by a loved one, or it could be by through a relationship. A person may feel rejected. In other words, a person can walk out of their lives, and that can affect them traumatically. They can feel rejected. Do you understand? Or ostracized, or treated differently, isolated, or you could even have a job termination, lose a job, and a person feel rejected because of the result. How come? Why me? Why did they choose me to lay off? Why did they choose me to fire? And then people began to feel rejected from that. So there's various ways that people end up feeling rejected as a result of certain things. Okay? And it affects them. So as a result, people are highly motivated to avoid certain feelings of rejection. So that's a normal thing. It's not unnormal for people to not like that feeling and then try to avoid that feeling. And so when they do that, they display certain behaviors and certain responses as a result of feeling rejected. So why does rejection hurt so bad? That's the question. Rejection doesn't feel good at all. In fact, it hurts. So because part of our human makeup is to be wanted, and most psychologists will tell you that. One of the main foundations of human psychology is we want to be loved. We want to be felt as if we're wanted. We want to feel as if we're worthy. That's a part of our makeup. That's our human makeup, to be accepted, to be valued. When you hear people say that, we want to understand, and when we hear people say certain things, that's a result of them feeling rejected. As a result, because this is a normal part of us to want to feel loved And so if somebody reject us and we feel unwanted, unloved, we'll end up feeling rejected. So I'll say this then. Why should we overcome rejection? Because the wound of rejection, number one, holds one captive. Remember, what did I start off with? Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to those who are afflicted. There are people who are afflicted with the wounds of rejection. And it says here, he has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. There it is. It holds one captive. How can we walk around as believers in the body of Christ if we don't allow Jesus to set us free from certain wounds, certain things in our lives? And so Jesus said he came to set the captive free. Praise the Lord. So notice what it says here. So the wounds of rejection holds one captive, and the Spirit of the Lord have sent me to preach the liberating power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what? Set the captives free. Amen. Not only to be saved and receive eternal life, but also to do what? Set the captive free. All right. So let's look at that word brokenhearted in a minute. It says he have sent me to bind up the broken heart, to mend, to help to heal, to institute, amen, a certain thing that helps a person along the continuum of being healed, to be cured. Amen. And that's what God has called all of us as believers in the body of Christ, to help people that we see are in that area and are hurting as a result of rejection and are walking around with open scars and open wounds. Amen. The Lord have called us as believers to try to help them. Amen. To do what? To bring them along that process of healing, to cure them. How do we do that? Help them to see Jesus Christ. Help them to know who they are. I'll deal with that identity crisis in a minute. But we have to help people to know who they are in Christ. See, when you know who you are in Christ, you feel better about yourself just because you know you're in Christ and what Christ and God thinks about you. We're able to deal with this thing called rejection. It doesn't have the same kind of effect. If somebody reject us, somebody walk out of our lives, somebody treat us differently, or if somebody treat us like an outcast, it doesn't have the same kind of effect because we know who we are. I'll deal with that. But right now I'm dealing with this thing called brokenhearted. Somebody say brokenhearted. Jesus came to bind up and to heal those with a broken heart. And there are a lot of people walking around today with a broken heart. That's heavy. Somebody say that's heavy. That's heavy. A broken heart. Sometimes we see certain behaviors that people are displaying. You know what the root cause? A broken heart. A broken heart. And people write all kinds of songs about broken hearts. So let's take an in-depth more look at this thing called broken hearted, so we really can truly understand what God is talking about, what the Bible is talking about when he says, Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, amen, and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to do what? Proclaim liberty to the captive. Why should we overcome rejection and the effects of rejection? Because it holds us captive. But Jesus came to set us free. So now, the Old Testament for this word brokenhearted is a word called shabar. Now, some people say, shabar, okay, Pastor, that's good. That's intellectual. That's good. But I want to look at the meaning of this word more so. Praise the Lord. And that word shabar means to burst or to crush or to destroy. That's heavy. I heard people say, well, God doesn't care about how we feel. God doesn't care about what we've been through. Oh, if he doesn't, somebody please tell me why Revelation says that God catches our tears in a vial. In a vial. He holds every tear that we cry and he catches them in a vial. That's how precious you are to him. That's how precious you feel, how you feel. Amen. Your emotions and what you're going through. God does care. I once heard somebody say, oh, he doesn't care about your cry. Yes, he does. Because Revelation says he catches my tears. If he doesn't care, why would he catch my tears? That means he cares. That right?
And so when it says to bind up the brokenhearted, he's saying the brokenhearted, it means to burst or to crush or to destroy. So Jesus is concerned about those who have been crushed. People who have a broken heart because somebody treated them a certain way and they feel crushed. They feel like their life is over with. Come on, somebody say amen. It means to break into pieces. This word, the same word, brokenhearted. So if you see a person that are walking with open scars and open wounds of rejection because they've been crushed by somebody, walked all over. You ever met anybody like that who are hurting because they have their heart have been broken to pieces? Some people will do that to you. It means to cause to lose hope. So all of that is a result or can be a result of a person who have been rejected. Is that right? How many people today are walking around crushed, wounded by rejection, are experiencing the result of someone who have destroyed their hope and crushed their dreams, crushed their spirit? I've come to let you know that Jesus wants to set you free from the spirit of rejection. Now, everybody, you guys remember, I did a whole series. I even got a handout. And anybody would like a copy, please let me know. I'll get your copy. But I'm working on a book as a result of this whole series that I did on demonic spirits and all of the various type of demonic spirits and how to deal with these demons. And one of those demons was the spirit of rejection. So I'll get you that. Anybody would like a copy. But we have to understand that when he says brokenhearted, it means to be crushed, to be destroyed, to be broken into pieces. It means to be shattered. Have you ever felt that way? Someone have rejected you, just felt just shattered. It literally means powder. It means to like to be pulverized. That's how it is. That's what the word means. As it relates to things that are going in our hearts, to things that are going in our minds. Praise the Lord. So it affects us. It affects our emotions. It affects our thought process. It affects our intellect. So we want every believer in the body of Christ to be ministered to and to be healed. It's not enough to be on our way to heaven, but still dealing with some very deep issues in life. Come on, somebody say amen. God is concerned about the whole you. Somebody say the whole me. The whole you. Spirit, soul, and body. Somebody said, well, Pastor, that's a whole discussion about the will. I don't know about that. There's not a difference between spirit and soul. I talked about that last week. Right? See, because when you see in the Old Testament, when it uses the word soul, it uses the word, in some cases, spirit and soul. And so that's the reason why some conclude that there's no difference. But when you see other scriptures that differentiates between the spirit of man, and even in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, the Bible talks about how the word of God is sharp and is powerful, and it pierces the soul and the spirit. Why would it say that if you can't separate the soul and spirit? If the Bible says the word of God is so powerful that it can even separate your soul and your spirit. If that was not possible, why would the Bible say it? So I think that we only can conclude that there is a difference between spirit and soul and the body. Spirit, soul, and body. And God is concerned about the whole you, what I mean by that. So he came to heal the whole you. So it's not enough to be born again and on our way to heaven, but we need to understand as believers in the body of Christ that God is concerned about how you feel. Obviously, God wants me to stay here. I was trying to move on to something else, and God says, stay right there. I want you to deal a little bit with this thing called pain. I want you to deal specifically with this thing called rejection, because there are a lot of people walking around today who have been rejected, who have been crushed, whose spirit have been broken. And God wants to know that you can be healed. Is that right? You can be healed. It means to be oppressed. Oppressed. And we saw that. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord have anointed me to bring good news to those who are afflicted and oppressed. Mm-hmm. This indicates a person who have been broken to pieces as a result of abuse. There it is again. Okay?
So
Jesus wants to heal all of that, right? Come on, somebody say amen. Yeah, he wants to heal all of that. All of your past, all of that, he wants to heal. And he has the power to heal it. And this, the anointing, as the Bible says, that does what? Destroys every yoke. Amen. So don't for a minute believe that this is just the way you're going to feel. You're going to feel it for the rest of your life. Nothing you can do about it. Just accept it. No. That's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not something you want to accept. Amen. Come on. Why do we need to overcome rejection? Because not only does it hold us captive, but also, here's a very interesting, it opens the door to demonic oppression. When you see people that are demonically oppressed, sometimes the result of what we're seeing is a result of a door that has been opened as a result of certain experiences. A door. Everybody understand what I mean when I say a door being open? I'm talking about spiritually. It opens up door up for the devil and demonic spirits to come in and operate. And let me just say this as regards to demons, because some people don't believe in demons, and you know, but there is a spiritual realm out there. That is a realm you can't see, but it's real. And so we see certain things as a result of demonic oppression, things that, and so what happens is, how can that happen? A person has to, somewhere or another, something has to happen to open that door. See, because the devil just can't come in and do what he want to do. He doesn't have that kind of authority. That's right. And he doesn't have that kind of power. We can allow him in, or we can do certain things that we may be aware of that we're doing it, but we're allowing him to come in and operate in certain areas. All right? Like drugs. This is a good example. When a person began using drugs, they opened themselves up to demonic spirits and demonic oppression. All right? The door is open. And that's the reason why you see a lot of things happen as a result of a person who was on drugs, because they open up the door. And all kind of demons can come in. So how do you deal with that? If you find yourself in that area, amen, you cut it off. Close the door. Touching him to just shut the door. Well, easy. Amen. Put a sign out on the door. Say, devil, you're not welcome. You know, you got to put a sign on. You got to mean it. Come on. You put a sign up and say, devil, you're not welcome. But the minute he come knocking at your door, do you open it or do you keep it closed? Or do you tell him, devil, you're not welcome? Come on, somebody say amen. See, you got to let the devil know and that you mean it. The door is closed. You can't enter this way anymore. Come on, somebody say amen. So don't open the door for demonic oppression. We need to know the wounds of rejection opens the door to spiritual oppression. It requires the anointing of God. What does it require? Someone, well, I don't know if they'll ever be delivered. Oh, yes, they can. They can be delivered. It's by the power of God. God can make a difference. And I've seen a whole lot of people delivered from many things, including drugs and alcohol. Just using that as an example. I mean, well, you know, I'm praying for my nephew because he's been on drugs for 15 years. Well, bless God. On the 16th year, God can heal him. God can deliver him from that drugs or alcohol. But it's the power of God. It's the anointing. Some people say, well, they've been through every program I know of, every rehab center they've been through. It just seems like they can't, amen, get off of the drugs. Well, I tell you a power that can get them off. Come on. I know a power that can loose them of that alcohol, loose them of them drugs. That's the power of God. That's what the Bible calls the anointing. Somebody say the anointing. That's the power of God. That's God's ability to set man free. In some cases, only he can do it. It is the anointing of God and the life-giving power. The power of God gives life, not death. Life. Somebody say life. God gives life. He gives life to our minds. He gives life to our thoughts. He gives life to our dreams. He gives life to our emotions. He gives life to everything we deal with. God is like that. Uh-huh. So it is the life-giving power of Jesus to set one free from the past. Or emotional hurts or pains that some people carry around for a lifetime. We need to know that evil spirits attach themselves to emotional wounds, or the door have been opened by those experiences that they may have had. Then all they have to do is do what again? Shut the door. The door was open. Now at this time, they need to do what? Shut the door. Touch your neighbor and say, shut the door. It's real easy. It's real easy. Amen. It's just like salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be born again, all you have to do is confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, ask God to save you, you're saved. Some people say, that's too easy, Pastor. But God made it simple and easy. And even in life, there's a whole lot of things God wants to help us with. It's simple if we're willing and obedient. God say you can be delivered of drugs and alcohol, for example. You can be delivered of the pain and the wounds of rejection. But all you have to do is do what? Shut the door. Shut the door. Close the door to oppression. Close the door to depression. Huh? Shut the door to depression. Shut the door to a lack of self-esteem. Shut the door to a lack of identity. I'll deal with that one in a minute. Or the lack of purpose and direction. That's where the enemy wants us to be. He don't want you to know who you are. And he don't want you to know where you're headed. There was a time and I didn't know who I was. And there was a time when I didn't know where I was headed. But thank God, because of Jesus Christ, I know who I am and I know where I'm headed. I know what my purpose is in life and I know my destiny. See, so the devil can't whisper in my ear and tell me anything differently, because I know what God has set me free and I know what God has taken me. How about you? Glory to God. Yes. So the wounds of rejection causes, first of all, trust issues. Amen. Those who have been rejected, what? They have a very hard time trusting. Not only others, but sometimes there are people that have a hard time even trusting God. Amen. But Jesus wants to come in and heal us of trust issues. Amen. But you know what? When we become rejected and casted out and made to feel an outcast, we began to do what? We began to, you know, like curl up and we don't open up. Amen. And that's what we have to allow the Lord to do. We're going to allow the Lord to come in and change that. I know we've been hurt. And God knows you've been hurt. Amen. And you like this now. Because you want, it's only natural to protect yourself. So you like this. Amen. But there's one that you can't open up to, and his name is Jesus. There's one that you can open up to and let God come in and heal that, and that's the Lord. Is that right? So God can help us with trust issues. He can help us with relational issues with our fellow man. He can help us, as I talked about in other cases, of feelings of guilt and shame, lack of self-worth, lack of hope, unresolved grief, guilt, and unexplained feelings of anger. There is one. Sometimes people experience anger is because something is shut up on the inside, because their mother walked out on them when they were 5 years old. Huh? And as a result, they internalize that. They feel rejected and they began to get angry. But God can heal us of that too. Can he do it? Fear of moving into new realms of opportunity. How about anxiety about our present and our future? See, if somebody walked out on you and now you feel insecure and unprotected and unloved, right? Then you're going to have trouble dealing with your current, what's going on right now. You're always going to feel like, you know, nothing good is going to happen, when God already said something good is going to happen. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, but feelings of rejection will have you to feel as if bad things is going to happen. You don't know what today holds, let alone tomorrow. But praise God, we know the one that holds the today and the tomorrow. So you don't have to worry about today. Amen. Because somebody walked out on you. Amen. You don't have the substance to sustain yourself. God is your help. Amen. He will provide for you every need. Maybe somebody walked out on you. You feeling rejected. But God wants you to know he's your provider. So you don't have to worry about your present today. I don't know what I'm going to do. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Well, God holds the tomorrow. Amen. Just put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Let him heal you. Is that right? Okay. How can you be healed of those emotional scars of rejection? Rejection is a result, again, as I said, of the need to be accepted. Accepted. So we know that we are accepted, what? By the Lord. When a person knows that they have been accepted by God, then the door is open for them to experience Christ's healing grace and power through forgiveness of sin and being made right with the Lord. I'm accepted by God. If others have rejected me, I know one thing, the Lord have accepted me.